Thank you, pastors, for allowing me to bring the word this afternoon. My title is The God Who Shows Up. The God Who Shows Up. And I'm just going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. You don't have to look for it for the sake of time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's almost like a contradiction. You greatly rejoice, though you're going through a season of heaviness and manifold trials. That the trial of your faith, verse 7 says, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Say, appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the God who appears. He's the one who shows up. Amen? I praise God because when I need him, he's there. And when I don't seem to be able to see him, he makes himself real in the midst of my trial. He's the God who shows up. He shows us mercy. He shows us exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. He shows us his glory. He showcases his wonders and the wonders of his majesty in the heavens and in creation. Every morning when I wake up and I look at the stars on a clear night, clear morning when it's dark, and I just see the clouds. I mean, I see the stars when the clouds have dissipated. And I look at the stars and I think about this God who knows every one of them by name, that he put them in their particular place, in their particular space in orbit. He just designed this great universe. And I rejoice in the fact that he knows every detail in my life and that he shows up to show me that he's in control of my situation and my need. God is a God who shows up. He shows himself strong and mighty on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. He shows us the path of life. He shows us signs and wonders. He shows us marvelous things in his word. He shows up. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we're praising, the God who shows up in the middle of a Red Sea when we have the enemy army behind us breathing down our back, and we find a place of impossibility where we can't cross over into the promised land. He shows up. I praise the God who shows up. He knows when we need him and how we need it to see his deliverance and his power and his salvation. He shows up. He shows up in our need, but he also shows up to reveal our need of him and to show us how bankrupt we are without him. He shows up. He shows up when we need him. He shows up when we think we don't need him, and he shows us our bankruptcy without him. He shows us things to come, and he shows the world that he has triumphed over sin and death. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He made a show of it openly. He displayed his power and majesty over all the principalities and powers of darkness, over every fear, over every lie, every argument of the flesh and of this world and of the enemy. He displays his power and he shows up. Hallelujah. He shows up. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you are going through it and asking, where is God in all of this? I don't see God in my situation. I don't see God when I look into my heart and I see my own frailties and my own weaknesses. Where is God? Where is this Christ that I lift up my hands in the temple, in the sanctuary, and praise him? Where is he in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my fire? I'm here to encourage you that God is on the move and God is going to show up. He's never left your side. He's true to his promises. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's there, but sometimes our eyes don't see him. Our eyes don't perceive him. But today we're asking God to open the eyes of our heart that we may behold the one who shows up. Hallelujah. God is still in the business of showing up. I was going to title this message, God is in show business. But I thought that may bring a little bit of confusion here. But Hollywood and Broadway's got nothing on God. When God shows up, he changes everything. When God comes on the scene, he makes everything different. He's the producer. He's the promoter. He's the protagonist. He pens the script. He preps the stage. He determines when the curtain rises, when the curtain's going to fall. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. He's got everything under control. If we could only see it, if God could open our eyes to behold, everything falls into perspective when we see him as the great producer, as the one who's producing something beautiful in our life, even in the midst of our trial. He's in control of everything. We say, God, you've got it all under control. That includes my storm. That includes my fire. That includes the furnace that I may have to walk through. The afflictions of my present situation. He's in control of it all. God is an awesome God. I remember sitting upstairs in the balcony because they sent all the old folk up there during the last production of Brother Derek's testimony. I don't know if you were here, but I'm telling you, I cried, I laughed, I rejoiced. I said, things were hitting my heart. God was speaking volumes to my heart. He brought me through ups and downs. But if you were to turn to me, even when there were tears in my eyes and ask me, are you enjoying the production? I would say, of course I'm enjoying this production. This is awesome. This is awesome. Oh, but there's tears in your eyes. God is touching me. God is doing something. I don't have to be laughing all the time to be enjoying the production of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We go through our valleys. We go through our wilderness experiences, but we can rejoice. The Word of God says we can rejoice even though for a present season we go through manifold trials and temptations. We have a reason to praise Him. We have a right to rejoice in the Lord because He's in control of everything. Hallelujah. Hollywood's got nothing on God. God is into the big screen. He sees the big picture. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even my trials have a divine purpose, even though I don't understand it during the present trial I may be going through. Even my hardships can manifest the glory of His handiwork. I've got to believe this, that God is the God of the big screen. He's God who sees the big picture, even though I just get a glimpse of this thing. I see in part, but He knows in full. Hallelujah. He knows the beginning from the end. He sees all things, and He says that all things are working together for my good. This is the God who's got everything under control. He's the God who's producing something glorious through His vessels, even through the fires, even through the fiery furnace that we may have to go through. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts. I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans for good. They're not for evil, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes when we're going through the heat of the moment. He says, I have plans to give you peace and plans that are going to give you a future and a hope and an expected end. He knows the beginning from the end. Talk about prequels and sequels. He knows what came before and He knows what's coming ahead. Even though all we see right now is this storm in my life, everything coming from left and right, doctor's reports and financial situations and family situations. And maybe you have to leave this sanctuary when you've been praising God, but you have to go back home to a storm and you're fearful of what you got to face today, but God is telling you He's in the midst of your storm. He's there. He knows what He's going to work out for the glory of His name and for your prosperity and your future and your peace and your hope. He wants you to hope again. He sees the big picture. Lighting, He's in control of lighting. This is the God that said, let there be light, and there was light. When everything was dark and void and in chaos, He said, let there be light, and there was light. And He's still in the business. If it worked then back in creation, why is He going to stop? He's still in the business of saying, let there be light in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our despair, when the enemy comes in with depression and oppressive thoughts on our mind. God is the God who speaks, let there be light, and there is light. And He sees that it's good. What He's doing in our life is good. It's a good work that He's doing in our life. Hallelujah. He's given us the Holy Script. And He says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He produces light in the midst of our darkness, where we don't know where to go, where we don't know where to run. He produces light, and He speaks light into our darkness. He's in control of the sound, all the mic checks. You've heard me share before. He goes, testing, 1, 2, 3. And he sends that test 1 time, 2 times, 3 times. But He'll make the sound come out perfect. Okay, He'll keep on testing until that testimony comes out clear and crisp in surround sound, that everybody around us will know that there's a God in heaven who's in control of our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No uncertain sound. God will come through even as He tests us. Hallelujah. He's so good. Talk about wardrobe change. He's in control of that too. He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of gladness for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, He'll take our rags of perdition and our filthy rags of pride, and he'll give us the best robe, the robe of his righteousness paid on Calvary in full by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. He dresses us in patience. He dresses us in peace. He puts forgiveness on our garments so that we can reach out in love, so that we can sing like our young people were singing, hands extended up and hands extended outward to those who have offended us. God gives us the best robe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I even found in the Bible that he's in control of makeup. In Joel, in the book of Joel, chapter 2:25, in the version called The Message, it says, I will make up for the years of the great locust invasion, and you'll eat your fill and of good food. Everything the enemy thought he had robbed you of, God will make it up to you. All the time that you thought you had lost, God will make it up, because God is in control. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody's talking about HD and high definition. High definition. We're living in a world that's trying to redefine the things that God has already defined in his holiness and calling evil good and good evil. Well, God is still the guy of a higher definition. He still calls things as they truly are. Hallelujah. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways are higher than your thoughts. And sometimes we're calling evil good and good evil, and we're looking at our trial and our testing and our valley as something evil. And we're rebuking the devil on the left and rebuking the enemy on the right, and rebuking our boss and rebuking our coworkers and our neighbors that are harassing us and all that noise that's coming from above and below. We're rebuking our family members that don't know him because they're coming against the anointed one. They don't know who they're touching. When God is saying, hey, you're calling evil good and good evil. Come on, I've got this. I've got this. I'm working around your trial. I'm working it all for the glory of my name. I'm doing something in your life. Can you trust me? Can you begin to praise me? Can you begin to rejoice in my production? Can you begin to rejoice in the midst of your battle? Hallelujah, because he's provided everything we need in our test to make it a testimony to the glory of his name. He's saying, I'm doing something. And when it's all said and done, my friends, all the credit goes to him. When we see the end credits just scrolling up, it's going to be just one name, one name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. He let us participate, but all the glory goes to him. Hallelujah. Only one name. The name of the one who showed up when we needed him, who shows up and glorifies his name. Hallelujah. Can I suggest to you this afternoon that he shows up and steps right into the midst of our trial? Secondly, he shows up right on schedule, right on time. And thirdly, he shows up to set us back on the right track. Firstly, he steps right into the midst of our trial. We would rather, or I guess I would rather, let me speak for myself. I'd rather that he just get rid of my trial altogether and just pluck me out, just zap me out, beam me up, get me out of this. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He could have put out the flames with just the breath of his nostrils. Just got, that's it. And they would try to increase the flame seven times hotter. And every time they try to increase it, he could have just... Right? He could have shown forth his glory that way, because God is God. He can do it any way he pleases. He could have slain the king and all the oppressors when they came against the children of God, those who desired to stand in the face of all the backsliding in the land. But look what he does. He chooses to be the fourth man in the fire. He chooses to walk among them in the midst of their flame, in the midst of their oppression, in the midst of their battle, in the midst of their persecution. He chooses to just go in and commune with them and walk with them in the midst of their fire. I could imagine them singing, your presence is heaven to me. Because he was there. He was there. Your presence makes it all well, even though I go through the fire, even though I go through the flood, even though I go through this affliction. Your presence is like heaven to me. God with us, Emmanuel, not just God for us, not just God helping us, but God with us in the midst of our trial. He steps in and takes the heat of the flame. How else would the eyes of the king been opened? How else would he have that testimony that truly the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the true God if he hadn't shown up in the midst of their trial? How else would his heart have turned towards the God of Israel? We want sometimes a pain-free life. God, take this pain away, that pain away. God, take this sickness. I rebuke that sickness. Take the financial. I come against the demon of financial trouble. Like, we come against everything that's opposing us. And we take authority in the name of Jesus. But let's ask ourselves, will the doctors ever perceive testimony if you and I are never visiting a doctor? If we never go into a hospital with the patients that are next to us, will they ever receive the testimony? See how different it is to go through afflictions with the presence of God that's heaven to us in the midst of our hospital room? Are we willing to say, God, if I have to go through these afflictions so that one soul can see you in the midst of the fire, then God, it's worth it all. God, if I have to go through pain and suffering and darkness and confusion so that others may see that there is still peace in the midst of the storm because you're with me, God, then it's worth it all. Your presence, oh God, makes all the difference. If I have to be in an inner dungeon like Paul and Silas, and praise you in the midst of my affliction, and praise you in the midst of my chains, in the midst of the darkness and the dampness of the place, and the whippings and the beatings and the persecution. If I have to go through that so I can sing praises and pray to your name in the presence of all these prisoners that are around me, then so be it, Lord, because it's there where the chains are broken, where the prison doors fly off their hinges, and where people get saved. People come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because of what we go through, I rejoice in that prayer request that came in on one Tuesday night. You see, we see the praise reports in yellow, and we see the prayer requests in blue. And one week it came in blue. Pray for my friend. She's going, I say she, but I can't remember if it was a she or he, but my friend is going through a harassment on the job, heavy oppression on the job, and doesn't know what to do. It's just unfair the way they're being treated. And we prayed. We prayed that night as a congregation. I don't know if you saw that prayer request. But the next week, 1 week later, it comes out in yellow as a praise report saying, the boss met with that friend that was being harassed on the job and said, I was just testing you. I'm promoting you to a higher position. I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. That boss saw the presence of God. That boss saw the fourth man in the fire. That boss saw that this person was going to praise God in the midst of the storm. That boss saw that there was nothing that was going to deter this child of God from proclaiming that God is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that he steps right in the middle of our trial, so that others will see him high and lifted up. And we will know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. Secondly, I believe he shows up right on time. Not a minute too late, not a minute too early, even though we want him to come early. He knows exactly, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He knows exactly when to show up on the scene. And when to reveal himself. Because, you see, he's working something behind the scenes. He's not just the God of the stage and the platform, and the God who reveals openly, but God works behind the scenes as well. He works in the intimate areas of our heart, in the corners where nobody sees, God sees. And God works behind the curtain, and he works on our life while he's asking us to wait and to learn to wait on him. And he begins to share his heart with us. Even while we go through afflictions, he begins to share his heart. How else can we know and feel tenderness towards those who are going through these afflictions if we don't go through them ourselves? How else can we tell them, I'm going to comfort you with the comfort that I've received, if we haven't received comfort in our trial? Amen? So he's sharing his heart with us, his compassion with us. I remember getting a flat tire. I've shared this here before, and I just, everything was going wrong. I lost one of the nuts of the things on the tire. There was no cell phones back then in those days. I couldn't get the tire off the thing, and I couldn't. It was ridiculous. No, I didn't have AAA at the time. No, nobody. I just cried out to God, God, you've got to help me here. And he did. He got me out of that affliction. But something came into my heart that night. Something came into my heart. And when I passed somebody one day and they were stuck on the road with a flat tire, I just had to stop. I had to stop because there was something in me that was touched by the feelings of that trial that they were going through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I had recently gone through that affliction. And as I helped this man, he's in a dangerous corner of the highway, and I'm helping him change his tire. He turns to me and he says, "You're Christian, right?" I don't know where he got it from. I didn't testify to him. I didn't preach to him. I just stopped my car and helped him out. He says, "You're Christian, right?" Praise God. He's sharing his heart with us. He's sharpening our armor for greater battles yet to be fought. He's preparing us for what's ahead. When David faced the bear and the lion, I believe God was preparing him for a bigger giant that was going to come his way, threatening not just the little lambs, but threatening the people of Israel and the freedom of Israel, and preparing him for the Goliaths ahead. Are you willing to go through affliction so that God can train us? I say yes to the Lord tonight, this afternoon. He's showing us his character, not his reluctance. He's not reluctant. He's not so busy that he can't come and show up in the midst of your trial. He's faithful. He wants to show you that he's faithful, that he said he would never leave you. He said he would come through. And he allows us to wait so that when he comes through, we would say, "Truly, God, you are faithful to your promises. You are who you said you are." Amen? Amen. Sometimes he wants to just show us his sustaining grace and teach us how to wait on him one day at a time. That may be the perfect timing of the Lord. The right time of the Lord may be just one day at a time. I'm going to give you the victory today. Tomorrow you'll feel as weak as ever, and you'll have to cry out to me again. But he'll give you the victory for tomorrow, one day at a time. You'll say, "I'm out of here. I can't take any more of this. I can't take one more day out of this." Next day, God will give you the strength for that day. And he's showing you that one day at a time, God is faithful. He's the God that walks with you. He's the God that talks with you. He's the God that strengthens you from day to day and from glory to glory. Amen? Amen. But God is there. We may not see him or recognize him, but God is there in the midst of our trial. Mary was weeping. "Where have you taken my Lord? Where have you taken my Master? Where have you taken the body of my Redeemer?" My friends, she didn't understand that her Redeemer was standing right next to her, in power of his resurrection, a glorified Christ right before her. She saw him as an ordinary man, as a gardener. She couldn't see him until he spoke her name, Mary. And sometimes God brings us through the trial until we can hear him call our name. So it becomes personal and not just some theology. We can say, "He called my name. He knows my name. He knows my suffering. He bottles every tear. And I know that God will meet you at the point of your need because he's met me at the point of my despair." God will wait till we're ready to hear our name being called by him. Hallelujah. The disciples fishing all night after they had seen the resurrected Lord twice and they catch nothing. They went on this fishing trip because Peter said, "I go fishing." So he said, "We'll go with you." And Jesus, it says it was nighttime. They caught nothing all night long. The sun begins to come up. The day begins to break and they begin to see that there's somebody on the shore that cries out to them, "Do you have any food?" Now, let me ask you something. He has breakfast prepared already. He has fish and bread on the fire. Did he just zap that into existence, or was he there all night with them while they were struggling and toiling? You see, he was preparing something for them all night long, just waiting for the right moment where they can cry out and say, "No, we got nothing. We got nothing." And sometimes God has to wait and bring us through afflictions until that point where we can say, "No, I've caught nothing. God, I thought I was a good fisherman. I thought I could handle this. I thought I could get my family together. I thought I knew how to raise my kids. I thought I knew how to manage my finances, but I've got nothing, God. I thought I knew how to do ministry. I thought I knew how to preach. I thought I knew how to teach. I thought I can handle this position that they gave me. But God, I've got nothing. And he says, now you're in the point where I wanted to bring you, because I've got it all prepared for you. I've got some fish and I've got some bread, and I'm going to invite you to come and dine like we heard this morning. Come and dine. Come and feast yourself in my presence. Come and sit at my feet and come rejoice and be strengthened in me, and come receive all that you need to produce life and godliness in this generation. Come and receive all the strength that you need to face every trial that you may face. Come and dine with me. He waits for us to come to that place where we acknowledge our bankruptcy without him, so that we can commune with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And lastly, he sets us back on the right track. He shows up when we're walking in one direction and causes us to turn around. I praise God for that God who shows up. He knows exactly when our thoughts are wandering in the wrong direction, and he shows up. He knows when despair and pain and confusion and our troubled state causes us to walk in the wrong direction. And he'll show up like he did to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He'll show up when their heads are down, when they're asking all these questions. We thought it was him. We thought it was going to be this way. Have you been there before? Have you thought that God was going to move through your life in a certain way? Have you ever been where you thought that God was going to provide a certain thing? You believed it. You fasted for it. You prayed for it. And God didn't show up the way you wanted him to. And now you're downcast and you're walking in the direction that you shouldn't be going. You should be heading towards the disciples, proclaiming that God is risen. You should be going back to them saying, believe in God. He's faithful. He's shown himself to many of the disciples. He's around. He's going to show up. He's going to do mighty things. Let's just believe everything he said, rehearsing the goodness of God and the things that he had proclaimed to them and promised them. But no, they're walking in one direction to Emmaus. I don't know what they're going to find there. I don't know where they're going, why they're going there, but their heads are downcast. And Jesus appears right on the road. They don't recognize him, but he's there. He's there. And he begins to open up the word to them. Begin to remind them, oh man, from Genesis all the way through the Psalms and all the way through the prophets, he begins to show them that it's all about him. It was all talking about him and his death and his resurrection and his sacrifice for the people and for humanity. And their hearts begin to burn within them, because now they know that this Christ is alive. Their eyes are opened as he breaks the bread and they see him. They see him in his glory and his majesty. And now they face, they can stay. They face this decision. They can stay and just rejoice in this manifestation, in this revelation of who he is. Or they can head back that whole distance that they had walked. They can head back and proclaim the good news to the disciples that there's a reason to hope, that there's a reason to rejoice, that there's a reason to dance and jump and laugh and sing. There's a reason to praise him. There's a reason to hope for tomorrow, because Jesus Christ has broken bread with me. Jesus Christ has opened my eyes and he's revealed that it's all about him, and to him is all the glory. Amen. He shows up and he changes our direction. When we're going one way, he shows up and turns us around. And I praise God for that. King David, at one point in 1 Samuel chapter 25, he was breathing vengeance against this man named Nabal or Nabal. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he was going to execute wrath upon this man who had been unjust. And Abigail, Nabal's wife, comes out, hears that David's on his way to devastate Nabal's house. And she just comes out and implores of King David, please don't do this. Don't take this matter into your hands. And David stops in his tracks and says, God has sent you. God has sent you. This is not just you came out to save your husband. God has sent you to keep me from doing something that he didn't want me to do. Are you hearing what the word of God is saying? He will show up. He can show up through a brother, through a sister, through a message, through a song, and he can stop you, and he can stop me in my tracks because I'm headed in the wrong direction. I'm going to speak to so-and-so. You better believe it. I'm rehearsing the words I'm going to say to this person tomorrow, Monday morning in the job. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind, and God will show up and say, you better stop. Stop. It doesn't honor me. It's not going to glorify my name. They're going to find out you go to Times Square Church, and they're going to say, what kind of testimony is that? Stop. Hallelujah. God is the God who shows up. Praise God for that. Praise God for the humility of King David, who would say, thank you, God, for stopping me. Some of us would probably be angry and say, God, you know, the words were perfect. I had the whole script ready to just lay it on them. Why'd you have to come and burst my bubble here? But he was humbled enough to say, God, thank you. Thank you for stopping me in my tracks. He shows up when Hagar is on the run and he says, where are you going? What are you doing? Go back. Submit yourself. Some of you may need to hear that word this afternoon. And we're closing. But God may have that last word in your heart, to your heart. You don't want to be there. You want to leave. You don't want to submit like Hagar because they've done unjust things to you. But God says, stop. I've got plans for you. Go back, submit, walk in humility, and I'm going to work out my plan in your life and through your life. Amen. And lastly, he shows up to the woman at the well when she was all about herself. You know what this man can provide for her? Oh, give me of that water. Give me of that well. Give me so I don't have to come back to this well and draw. Make my life easier. In other words, God, come. Come to my life. Come and bless me, bless me, bless me, so that my life will be easier. And he's got a greater revelation for this woman until her eyes are open. She realizes this is the Christ, the Savior of the whole world. And she leaves her water pots there, that which was her life, that which was she came for to the well, for she leaves them there. She said, this has to take second place in my life. Right now, there are others that need to see him. There are others that need to hear him for themselves. There are others that need to understand that this is the Savior of the world. She leaves her water pots and goes and gets them and says, I have found him. I have found him, my friends. And sometimes our life of Christianity is all self-focused and all is bless me, and God's got to show up on the scene. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's got to give us a revelation of how glorious he is and how compassionate he is, and that the blood he spilt on Calvary for me was the same blood he spilt for my neighbor above me, the neighbor across the hallway, and my co-workers that work and make my life miserable. My friends, the blood of Jesus was spilled for them, and I've got to go tell them that he's the one. I've got to go tell them. God's got to stop me in my tracks and change my focus from being self-focused to other-focused, and God's got to reveal himself through me to them. Will you stand with me in this sanctuary this afternoon? We're going to make this altar, this platform open so that we can pray with you. If you've been losing that joy in the midst of your trial, you've been losing. You can't rejoice. You can't say that you've felt that God has everything under control. In fact, you've been probably even arguing with God because he doesn't seem to be handling your situation the way you want him to. If that's your situation, come quickly. Come, just say, God, forgive me. God, you've got the reins. It's a surrender. We're coming to just say, God, take control of my trials. Take control of my good days, my bad days. Take control of this situation. You're stopping me in my tracks, and you're telling me to just give thanks for what you're doing in my life, even though I don't see it. If that's you, come as the musicians worship, as we sing. Come and just surrender it all to Jesus. Amen. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul wrote that from a prison. And he says, rejoice. God, give us the grace. Give us the grace. As we come to you today, we abandon our life, God. We surrender our life, our trials and all, into your hands. Our questions, our reasonings, our arguments, we surrender it all. You know it all. We surrender it all. And we declare that you know what you're doing. Even when we don't know, you know what you're doing. We choose to adore you. We choose to lift up our hands in praise and worship like Paul and Silas in the middle of their dungeon, because what you're doing is good. What you do in our life is good. Just like when you created the heavens and the earth and you would sit back and say, it's good, it's good. God, we thank you that you're doing a good work in our lives, a good work. No matter how we feel, no matter what the enemy tells us, you're doing a good work in our life, and I thank you for this. And God, we come with thanksgiving. We come with anticipation of what we're going to see and how you're going to show up on the scene. Probably when we least expected you to come, you're going to come forth and reveal your glory, your majesty. and make it a testimony to the glory and honor of your name. We pray, dear God, even before you speak peace to the waves in our life, you speak peace to our hearts. Before you calm the storm, calm our hearts, oh God. We need you in this hour, and we thank you for this. We give you all the praise because it belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. Could I just encourage you before the pastor closes up? I'm sorry, Pastor. Jesus shows up in the temple, doesn't he? God shows up in the presence of his temple. And you know, you are the temple of the Lord. So can I encourage you to let the Lord use you? Let the Lord show up in you and through you to encourage your brothers and sisters who may be going through even deeper trials than you are. Don't be afraid to make a friend here and to encourage one another in the Lord. Amen.